This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it is Tuesday. It is. You know what that means.
Yesterday was Monday.
Right. And it's still smoky and it's still hot. So here we go.
Well, you sent me the story yesterday about how Idaho is now the most lowest air quality in the nation. And I sat there and said, you know, they must be making China proud, you know, smoke out those red hat wearers.
Everyone in Idaho is like, gee, thanks, Oregon. Thanks, Washington. All right. Well, it is Tuesday, and that means it's Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod, who is here joining us in the studio. Hello, lady. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. How you doing? How you coping? Hey, is it good? Is it all good?
Denise, this show originates in Salem.
Oh, we won't even get into it today, but I watched the Salem City Council meeting last night. Woo dog. All right.
Well, I mean, you know, our first segment this time of the month is always stats, and I think it might behoove us to connect some dots.
Okay. Well, why don't we connect some dots? Yeah. You're great at that.
Yeah, let's connect some dots since now that we don't allow non-disclosures, we'll probably never see another business come here of any consequence come here again. To bring living wage jobs that would help us afford what people want to call unaffordable housing. So I'm going to guess that housing will get very affordable if our wages don't change. So let's just start off with the average sales price. Interestingly enough, we have had an increase, an average over all four counties. Now, this is all four counties, from 465 to 491. Is now the average sales price in 2026. And not surprising, we have had a steady decline in the number of sales starting in 2023. So when we hit the peak of the market in 2022, we were at 5,536 sales. Mm-hmm. The next year, 2023, that was the year when interest increased by 3% in 3 months.
Right.
Thank you, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We dropped to 4,055 units. We have steadily declined each year in the number of sales until now. This is number of sales year to date. Right now, we're at 3,825. That is another drop of 1.25%, following a drop of almost 3%, following a drop of 1.5%. And in 2023, we dropped 26, almost 27%. So that now along with that, what we have is an increase in days on the market. So we're now sitting over four counties at 89 days on the market. Mm. And here in the Salem market, we are higher than that. We're at 94, an average of 94 days.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what that translates to is you're typically on the market about 60 days now, and then about 30 to 35 days to close.
For closing. Yeah.
Yeah. So our top sales terms are still 50% of our sales are conventional, followed by 24% cash. And that could explain why we see that bump up in price. Because remember, those are averages, the average price. So we're, you know, when you see higher sales at higher ends where people are not as affected by interest rates, or you have folks selling and maybe downsizing, so they're paying more cash. The behind that is FHA at 17% and VA at 8%. So those four categories make up 99% of our sales. In the different areas, Kaiser has seen a 1% increase in price this year over last year. Central, I think we've been talking about this for a couple months now. They had a decline of 3% from 362 last year down to 350 so far this year. Northeast Salem, on the east side of Lancaster, Had basically zero change, 444 to 442. We built out the D.R. Horton out there, now they've stabilized. Same with southeast of Lancaster. There, they were at 447.9. Now they're at 447.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Southeast Salem, that's Battle Creek area, 525 to 524. So very stable there. Mm-hmm. But there's a new housing development going in out there by Holt Homes. Banner Homes is going in out there. But, you know, all those houses, you know, just the cost of land and development, they're going to be up in the high five, six, sevens.
Where in the area?
Well, off Battle Creek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Pringle.
Okay.
South Salem, which is, you know, your Candelaria is kind of over in Fairmont, that area. 574 to 587. So they've had a 2% increase. West Salem, they were sleepy. We've been talking about prices falling in West Salem. Mm-hmm. Well, last year they were 516. Now they're averaging 586. Marion County, 541 down to 523. So we talked about people had, you know, they've kind of run their gamut there.
Those that were going to move, moved.
Moved, yeah. Yeah. And Polk County, 517 to 510. That's just a 1%. Overall, the four counties, 504 to 510 is a 1% increase. So really, we are flat. Some price points declining. 76% of our transactions that have gone under contract are between 350 and 500. And then it starts to fall off precipitously. So if you're above the 500 mark, you really have to be on your toes and be aggressive in this market.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a house from 300 to 350 in four counties, over the last 12 months, there were only 520.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So you have to get qualified one way or the other if you're going to have any inventory to pick from. Between the 350 and 500. One little pop-up in the range of price points. If you've got that 1 million to 1.25 million, there were only 90 that sold over four counties, but that 90 represents the equivalent of every other property that sold from 1.25 to 3 million. Roll all those up and you get a little over 90.
Mm-hmm.
960, you're to a million. 31 houses in 12 months, four counties. So it gets, if you're at 860 to 910, well, there's 66 houses in four counties in the last year. So it gets very, very dicey. If you're talking to any other agent except our team, you really should ask them to show you the MLS statistics because these bar graphs are there for you to review so that you don't get caught up in happy talk.
Yeah.
We in the 350 to 500 price range, the active listings, there's four counties, 655, which is only a month and a half worth of inventory.
So we're back down again where it's
only
tight.
Only there.
Okay.
Right.
But isn't that where that's starter home land?
That's where the most sales are. So it tells you, you know, if you're like at 500, 525, you really... I mean, take a look at the equity that you have made over the last 6 years and do yourself a favor. Cut your time on the market. The longer you're on the market, the more people talk about what's wrong with you instead of what's right.
Right.
You might want to think about sliding into that under 500 category and get this thing sold. We've been advising our clients that, the numbers we're telling you right now might make you throw up in your mouth. But if you're a buyer, you can't win on both sides. So if you're a buyer, now go negotiate equally. You may pick up that $25,000 I'm suggesting. If you're a 525 buyer, get to the 499.9 and pick that $25,000 up in your negotiations on the other side. Of course, it's all market dependent. So it's ugly out there. Our city is not helping it. We need living wage jobs, but apparently we like homeless encampments better than we like job encampments.
Well, yeah, it was, that seemed to be the theme of the meeting last night. And of course, all of those people, there was a lot of emotion out there, but that doesn't necessarily make for good policy. So
no.
It was disappointing to see, and it went very, very long. I remember back in the days when they used to go very, very long. So it was something to behold. And if kind of the bulk of the people in that group get what they want, yeah, who's going to want to come to Salem? I don't know. So you got those living wages, and so it all ripples out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we really have to start connecting the dots. Unless something dramatic has changed, Santiam Hospital, right there in Staten, wonderful hospital, due to go bankrupt in, 3 days? 4 days?
Jeez. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you have nothing but Medicaid patients, or not nothing, but a good majority. You're using resources but not being reimbursed. This is what happens. And so, I usually try and stay away from politics, but it is getting dramatically worse quickly.
Yeah. Well, the old chickens are coming home to roost. Decisions that were made 30 years ago are now starting to really seeing the consequences of that. So I don't think that's political. I think that's just reality.
It is. It is.
It is. All right. We're talking all things real estate today with Amy McLeod. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're talking all things real estate with Amy McLeod. One of the joys of home ownership and owning your own property is, you get to fix everything.
Yes, ma'am. And today I want to talk about something I haven't seen on this scale in all the time I've been in real estate. If you've been house hunting lately, you've probably heard stories about inspection reports coming back with big, big invoices, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in repair requests.
Yeah.
And buyers are shocked. Some of them are so shocked that they don't even send over a repair addendum. They just walk, which always annoys me because I put that on their realtor for not counseling them. But sellers are offended. And here's the interesting part, that this didn't happen overnight. The seeds were planted almost 18 years ago. So let me take you back to 2008. The housing market collapsed. Home values plummeted. People watched hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity disappear overnight. And many homeowners were underwater on their mortgages. They couldn't refinance. They couldn't sell. They felt trapped. And the worst thing they felt was that, well, if this house is not appreciating, then I'm not going to put any money into it. They stopped investing in their homes. And if you think about it, if your home dropped from 350 to 240, which was, that was happening.
Yeah.
Were you excited about spending $15,000 on a new roof? And probably not.
Except that it's still your home, but
well,
okay.
Yep. And many people just said, we'll patch it one more year. And the furnace, well, it still works. Exterior paint, I mean, drive this town, you'll see all kinds of houses faded. Which is interesting because people keep picking those dark colors. They fade if you pick a dark color. The deck, it's good enough. We'd see peeling paint. Oh, there's a board here or there rotted. The crawl space, out of sight, out of mind. Mm. Even though we've had interesting infestation of rats lately. It wasn't laziness. For a lot of people, it was survival. And families were protecting every dollar because nobody knew when the market would recover. But deferred maintenance doesn't disappear. It just waits. And and then it gets more expensive. So that small roof leak becomes rotten sheathing even into the trusses.
Mm.
The old HVAC system becomes a complete replacement. The peeling paint becomes painting the house, but you have to replace the sheathing that's now dry rotted. So you have to do that. That little plumbing leak turns into water damage. You know, the whole floor of your sink cabinet is rotten. So today, these decisions made years ago are showing up in home inspections. And what might have been a $4,000 repair 15 years ago is now a $20,000 project. And instead of replacing a furnace for $5,000, homeowners are having to replace the furnace, the air conditioner, sometimes the ductwork. So... We're seeing roofs, crawl spaces, electrical panels, sewer lines, even in newer houses, all needing attention at the same time. And buyers notice. And so...
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk more about this, but today's buyer isn't just buying a home. They're buying monthly payments that are already higher because of the interest rates and high insurance and high taxes, and they simply don't have another $30,000 sitting in the bank after they close. So they're asking sellers to make the repairs or reduce the price. And here's my advice. If you're thinking about selling, walk around your house as though you were buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Have your mother-in-law do it. she'll tell your son-in-law, you know. Fix the little things before they become big things. Replace a worn-out faucet. Don't let it keep dripping. Pretty soon that eats away at the bowl. And then you've got like, oh, if you're in Kaiser, you're in trouble. You've got that green stuff that, you know, you can't get out.
Stains and hard water and all that. Yeah.
Replace the worn out faucet. Repair the deck railing. A lot of rotten decks these days. Clean your gutters every single year. Or get Leaf Guard or something. Service the heating system every year. And, you know, do yourself a favor. Don't do it in August. Don't do it in December. Do it in their off season. It's cheaper. Every dollar you spend proactively saves you several dollars in, will usually save you noticeable dollars in negotiations. Because a well-maintained home doesn't just sell faster, it creates confidence. And confidence creates stronger offers. We always tell people that our buyers look at how the bathroom and the kitchen presents itself to decide what they believe how you've maintained the things they can't see. So one of the biggest lessons that I've learned over three decades of selling real estate is homes are just like our bodies. And if you skip your annual physical for 10 years and eventually you may find yourself paying for surgery instead of a simple checkup, and houses are exactly the same thing. So a few hundred dollars a year in maintenance often prevents tens of thousands of dollars in repairs later. And that is exactly what we're seeing across our market today. So, you know, if your house has been good to you over the years, you got to be good to it. It's a dynamic thing.
It is. And that's what I'm saying. Even though it may, you know, during 2008 and when all of that went down, it's still your home. I mean, I get, you said go through it with your mother-in-law. Okay. But what about getting an inspection beforehand, having somebody really critically go through it and taking it? Is that a good idea or is
very
it just
good idea? Very good idea. And as an example, I have some clients, we suggested to them, they have an inspection. And so they got a long list of repairs and they've been working through the repairs. Well, some of the repairs required a contractor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in conjunction with us indoctrinating all of our high school kids that they must go to college, we have a severe shortage of specialty trades.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we were hoping to be on the market right after the 4th of July. She just told me that the flooring contractor doesn't even have a break in his schedule to do their flooring until I think she said it was the 10th of August.
Wow.
We've lost 2 months. Now, frankly, in this particular market right now, it was a good 2 months to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully by the 10th of August, some things will have changed. But that's, you know, if you're in a hot market or if you have someplace to go, you want to. I had another call yesterday. We want to go right now to Texas. We're buying a 63-acre ranch.
Cool. Yeah. Lucky them.
Yeah, for $700,000 with two houses on it. Right?
Oh.
I think they have living wage jobs down there.
Wow.
Anyway, so, you know, but they're in a hurry. They want, and he's saying to me, how can I get a fast sale? Well, we're going to be deeply discounting this house if you want a fast sale because we got 5 months worth of inventory.
Yeah.
So, these are the things that you can avoid if you just stay up on it. Have some pride. Your neighbors will appreciate it. And don't paint your house those dark colors.
Oh, I still remember my folks lived in West Salem and they had an HOA and they had a neighbor who got mad at the HOA for telling him what colors he could paint. So he painted his house in polka dots.
Oh.
I just actually every time I saw it, I'm like, you go, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's just some practicalities, you know, we bought a house. It was medium gray and we had to paint it 5 years after because it was fading. The sun is brutal.
Yeah. Well, like you said, those dark colors, they do that. I mean, I'm just thinking, too, if you're kind of going and catching projects as they come up, you're not at somebody else at the mercy of a timeline. I remember when we had to get our chimney done and, you know, the mason work, kind of a niche. There's not a lot of people that do it. And so I'm assuming when you got to have a chimney rebuild, you kind of want it rebuilt now.
Yes. So yes. And they're if not, you, if you, they're not cheap. Those guys aren't cheap.
No, they're not cheap. And I imagine too, if you've put everything off and you get that long list, that's gotta be a bit of a gut punch, but it sounds like it's a little bit of a medicine you've got to take if you've put it off for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. And people have, I mean, it's to the point now where some people have to take out a HELOC to do their repairs. But things you should be looking at now, you know, it's a good time to clean the gutters because it's dry, you know.
Right.
Make sure that your gutters are draining away from the house with splash blocks.
Yeah.
If they're not, you know, set into a drain into the ground, that's a great thing to look at. Look at like your weather stripping around your doors. There's something to look at. Make sure you're checking your pipes. Now is a good time to get in under your house. And just poke your head down there and see, because it's shocking how many people have small leaks that they don't ever know. But right now, you know, if you have a small leak, you might see evidence of a leak on your Visqueen vapor barrier. Those are black generally. And you'll see that white residue that shows you you've had a leak. But right now it could be evaporating. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure your vents are all open. But I've never seen so many rat infestations.
I was just going to say, if you're crawling under there and dealing with rats, that's...
Well, you probably won't see the rats. You'll see the evidence.
Yes.
And so then you want to get a pest company out there.
Yeah.
Get that taken care of. But they're here. We're not talking little mice. We're talking rats.
Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. Lovely. Lovely.
I know.
Yeah, you definitely want to catch all that stuff. All right, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break for the news and come back and talk more real estate insights with Andy. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're talking all things real estate with Amy McLeod from the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. So we're talking, you know, really the landscape has changed even from the sort of the unicorn years. Mm-hmm. We don't have unicorns anymore. Now we got rats.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. What I wanted to share was some things have dramatically changed in the last couple of years. So for a while, it seemed like buyers were purchasing just about anything. And
during the unicorn years, no inspections. I mean, it was crazy.
It was very crazy. A house could have old carpet, outdated kitchens, a worn out roof, and a furnace that was older than some of the buyers looking at it. And it would still receive multiple offers. And people joke that if a house had four walls and a roof, it would sell, which was kind of true. But I'm here to tell you, those days are behind us. And
long gone.
Yeah, right along with 3.5% interest. Yeah. So today's buyer is shopping with a flashlight, literally and figuratively. They're opening electrical panels. They're looking in crawl spaces.
Pulling up carpet.
They're crawling into crawl spaces. They're hiring sewer scope companies. They're checking attics. They're researching insurance claims. You can do that.
Now that's an interesting wrinkle.
Yep. And they're asking about permits. And why? Because affordability has changed. So when interest rates were around 3%, buyers had room in their budgets, slightly higher mortgage payment still left money available for improvements. But today, that same buyer for sure is stretching to qualify. It just blows my mind. We've got affordable cottages that'll be in the mid 370s with a 3.5% down, which is going to cost you about $14,000 and another $14,000 in closing costs. They have to come up with $28,000 down, and then they're going to have about a $2,700 a month payment. So sellers need to let that sink in. So rarely after doing all of that, a buyer simply doesn't have another $25,000 to replace a roof or an HVAC system.
Yeah.
So instead of saying they'll fix it later, they said, we need this fixed before we buy. And that's not unreasonable given the amount of inventory we have. It's simply the truth. So here's the interesting thing for sellers. Many sellers still think they're listing their home in the market of 2021.
Yeah.
Buyers need to give up 3.5% interest in their mind. Sellers need to give up the market of 2021. Today's buyers have options, lots of them. Inventory has increased. My staff is constantly telling me, I can't believe we had 15 houses to look at that were in the 350 to 400 range. Homes are staying on the market longer, and that means buyers are comparing homes instead of competing for them. Mm-hmm. You really got to get that into your brain. Imagine that you're looking at two houses. They're both 500,000. One has a new roof, fresh paint, updated HVAC, and a clean inspection report. The other one needs 30,000 worth of repairs. Which one would you choose?
I don't know. Hard. That's really hard, yeah. Amy.
Yeah. Mm. Of course, everyone picks the first one, not because it's prettier, but because it's taking out that uncertainty.
Yeah.
People worry about, if I rip the HVAC out, am I going to find dry rot, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they pay that premium for certainty. And then that brings me to one of my favorite recommendations, which we were kind of talking about, mm-hmm. that if you're thinking about selling, consider a pre-listing inspection.
Yeah.
It sounds backwards, but, you know, because like, why would you want to know if someone is going to point out what's wrong with your house? But, you know, knowledge is power. So instead of discovering problems halfway through a transaction, when emotions are high, you discover them beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like get the diagnosis so you know what you're dealing with versus mm-hmm. being blindsided halfway yeah. through the process.
Yeah, you're going to be able to get bids from contractors. You choose yeah. who does the work. You decide when. Most importantly, you're making decisions on your time, not the buyer's. And you're going to have a really much better idea of what is your actual equity when you sell. So I've seen a lot of sellers save thousands of dollars simply because they controlled the process instead mm-hmm. of reactions.
Yeah.
And the market has changed. Homes are selling. Good homes sell quickly. Great homes sometimes receive multiple offers, but deferred maintenance has become more expensive than preventive maintenance.
So what about older homes? There's a lot of neighborhoods in Salem where you've got homes that were built in the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Are they being well maintained? A lot of people who get into those homes, I mean, they have their own sort of challenges as they're older, but usually they're built pretty solidly though.
They are built solidly. And, you know, the answer to your question is some.
Okay.
you know, they're expensive to paint because they have lots of
lead,
you know, angles. And you got to be careful with lead. You have to, if you're having to scrape anything.
I've had that joy.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Make sure those blue tarps are down so that you can collect those chips and dispose of them properly.
Mm-hmm. They do not do good things to little kids. Yep. Yeah.
One of the strategies in all of this is like if somebody's planning to sell in the next year or two, you want to start acting like you're getting your house ready today. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
fix one thing a month. Service the furnace.
There you go.
Pressure wash the exterior. This would be a good time to pressure wash. Repair your fence and then replace that leaking faucet. The little projects don't just make you look better. They tell the buyer something important. That you cared about the house, you kept it up, and buyers are willing to pay for confidence, and that's why they aren't shopping with rose-colored glasses anymore. They're looking at everything through a magnifying glass. So
yeah, and I like that. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one mm-hmm. bite at a time, and so you start, and you kind of start that, and then it doesn't become overwhelming. I know myself, I can get overwhelmed if I see this big list, and I would just sort of get agita and
yeah.
Let's just drop the price. I don't want to do any of this.
Well, and even if you're not selling, it's not a bad idea to have your house inspected every couple of years. It's surprising to me. You know, we'll go into a new house. We had our house inspected. I think we did it at the 5-year mark. And, you know, things have jiggled apart. You know, a common one in new construction is that your chase for your heat system, the duct, mm-hmm. has separated, and so heat from a certain chase is not going because the two pieces have separated. It's a simple fix. You just put it back together, put the duct tape on it, and away you go. But things like that can happen to your house in those places that you're not looking at every day that you can address. And so, you know, it's a well spent $500 to have the inspector come top to bottom.
Yeah.
Keep the moss off your roof.
Well, especially in Oregon. I mean, uh-huh. that's a big issue. We had a metal roof, but you see when that gets bad and it really, I mean, then you're getting into the underlayment and huge, awful problem that mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. And then, I mean, even for, you know, as the houses get older, treating the roof because mm-hmm. our shingles here tend to get brittle because mm-hmm. of the sun and then the cooling. So that's why
moisture.
Our 30-year roofs only last about 20 years because they heat up and cool down and they lose the granules that are on them. But if you're treating them, it'll make that roof last much longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course the gutters, because it rains all the time. I had a little house and I had my little house over in Bush Park and I did not clean my gutters one year. Mm. Oh, what a mistake. Mm-hmm. What a mistake. Thanksgiving morning. It's raining inside and I'm out there on a ladder teetering out there, getting muck out. It was just gross. So I learned my lesson.
Well, and we have beautiful trees here. That's one of those, if it fills with the leaves, then the water is backing up under your roofing material. Yeah. And that's where you end up with leaks and dry rot sheathing. Now you got to take it down to the sheathing and
Not fun. Not fun. All right, let's take a break. We're talking to Amy McLeod, All Things Real Estate today on Newsmakers at Noon. Come on back.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
The gabagool sounds good. I think there's one in my future. I think there is.
You're seeing, well, now that IP28 won't be on the ballot, you know, the price of it won't skyrocket. And, you know, what a win there.
I can get my cold cuts. I'm happy. My happy. All right. So I wanted to ask you, Amy, because I recently have I have a family member who's trying to unload some rental properties. And one of the listings out there was because the place is not occupied right now. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of listings like that where you're looking at the listing. The house looks great. Everything that we've talked about, everything's clean and new and fresh, but the rooms are empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at this listing. I'm like, well, I don't know where I'd put my bed or my couch. And I don't know, are a lot of buyers maybe don't have imagination. They don't want to spend the time imagining what it looks like. So what are some ways that you can make your listing look better without putting a bunch of furniture back in it?
Well, I don't think it's incumbent on the buyer to imagine it. It's incumbent mm-hmm. on the seller and their agent to sell the property, to highlight its features. And so, you know, you have hit one of my hot buttons, and I would suggest to every seller, potential seller out there, before you hire Cousin Sue or the gal that was referred to you, go on their website and look at the houses that they have for sale, or go into MLS. You can pull their name up and look at the photos, because this is where every buyer starts their journey.
Yeah.
And we have a rule in our office that, one, those photos are placed in logical order the way you would walk through the house.
Yeah.
Unless there's some very special reason. So I have a listing right now. We have had it with the house is cute, little bungalow, but it's priced at a price that you're like, what is Amy thinking? Well, it's because I have a 4-bay garage in the back. And so there's $100,000 worth of value in that garage. So we chose to move that one photo of the garage up front. So when people see the price, they see, now the second photo is, let's take a logical walk through the house.
Which makes total sense, because if you're just kind of going through it, you'd balk at that price.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That makes sense.
But when I'm talking in our listing presentation, what you'll often see, I use it as a joke, I'll say, they'll show you the front door, and then they show you the half bath, and then they show you the laundry room, and then they show you the outdoors, and then they show you some empty room. You don't even know what it is. And finally, they get around to the kitchen, and they show you 25 pictures of the kitchen at every teeny tiny angle in the kitchen when mm-hmm. three would have sufficed. It's enough to drive you insane. And having been in the home buying process myself right now, I just want to poke my eyes. And so what you want is a realtor who is going to order those photos in a way a buyer would logically walk through the house. Because frankly, the virtual tours are clunky and cumbersome.
I don't like mm-hmm. those 3D tours at all.
Right. So you can go through photographs. And if you have done it right, we call it anchoring in our office. So if I come mm-hmm. into the front door and I have a living room to the left and a den to the right, I can capture little tiny features in each of those rooms. Now my cameraman goes to the living room and you see that plant that was in the hallway picture capturing. Mm-hmm. Okay, he comes out of the living room, and then you see the desk in the den. So you know you've gone left and right. And then you go forward, because forward you saw a little bit of the island in the kitchen. So mentally, your mind has created a floor plan. The floor plans are far more useful. Mm-hmm. But you can capture what the essence of the house. Now, the problem with vacant houses is whether you're looking online, especially when you're looking online, or when you're in them, a vacant room shrinks.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So if you're ever in a vacant house and they haven't staged it, or they haven't staged it, and we'll talk about this in a minute, online. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you're in the bedroom and you're like, I wonder if my furniture fits. You and your husband, you sleep, let's say you sleep in a queen size bed or a king size bed. Mm-hmm. You kind of know the space you keep between us. I know Greg and I do. It's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Right? Okay. So then stand against the bed wall the way you would lay in your bed. And that will help you visually capture the size. Yeah. And then you can just step off like six and a half feet. And you usually know in relationship to your bed, how big is your dresser? Okay. So you can start to picture if you have that one thing in your mind, because mm-hmm. rooms shrink.
Yeah.
All right. But on the other hand, we have a great stager in town, and there are certain projects that I use her on. So for instance, we have the cottage cluster on Gilbert and Sherman. Mm-hmm. We have those staged because it's very difficult for people to imagine how would they live, because the space shrinks in on you.
Yeah.
Okay. But for most houses, you can stage them online using AI. You can place the furniture. Now, I want to tell you one little drawback with this, because we have this program, we use it. Mm-hmm. Every time you change the angle of the room, let's say in a dining room, you want a dining room table, chairs, of course, and you want a hutch or mm-hmm. something, right? A sideboard. So you might shoot it straight on, so you're at the length of the table, and then you might take a second picture shooting it from the side. Well, the AI programs will not repeat the furniture.
Yeah.
So you got, and that's why it's so important to put those pictures in the order you'd go through the house. Especially the two places where it gets really messed up is in let's say you've got two or three secondary bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And very important for the, because I was noticing in our home search, we'd have two bedrooms and I'm like, where am I? One of the ways I could figure it out was oftentimes the light fixture would be different mm-hmm. and the window would. So make note, what am I looking at? But then, because, you know, if they show you two angles in one bedroom, you might think you're in two bedrooms, but you're not.
But you're not.
Right. Yeah. Because they don't repeat the furniture, which is so annoying. So if anybody out there is an AI programmer for AI staging, please fix that.
I know. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll get like a completely different decor and different look. I've seen it done, and it's like, it looks nice. It's very sort of generic, but it places you and it places something in the room to give you perspective.
Right.
I hadn't even thought about empty rooms shrinking, but that makes a lot of sense. So you need that scale in there.
Right. You can even do that like in a living room. If there's two of you, remember, most couches will hold three butts the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you, your partner, your husband, your spouse, and your realtor sit shoulder to shoulder, and that will give you dimensions in the room. And then two of you can do a love seat. And of course, mm-hmm. one can do a chair. And then that will give you a really good idea of the space that you have in the room, because it really does shrink down.
It does. And I'm thinking, because like you said, too, most buyers actually start online. So if you're kind of looking at two different properties, one is AI staged and one is not, I would think the AI staged one would draw more eyeballs just because you're looking at furnished, and I'm throwing up air quotes, rooms. And it's easier to visualize your own stuff in there if you can see something else.
Yes, you want sizing. But I would say this, you don't want a buyer looking at your house going, ugh. And I found that's what I was doing. Like, oh my gosh, where am I in this house? Mm-hmm. And you want you want to make this process as easy as possible for them, hence mm-hmm. the pre-inspections, the pre-repairs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if they can sit there and go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now instead of their brain being frustrated, trying to figure out where they are, now their brain can start working on, oh, how would I position my furniture? How would I live in this house? That's the space that you want them in. It's real estate is a whole lot more psychology than people think.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with good presentation. You know, we've always said what sells a house is price and presentation. And this is part of it. And it's not going, I mean, so many sellers, it's a hangover, had the mm-hmm. attitude, you know, you'll take what you can get. Well, that's not the case anymore. You're, like we've said, it's a beauty contest and you want to be the one at the microphone with the crown and the roses. And you do that by making it very, very easy for the buyer to pick you.
Yeah.
Well, I you're taking me back because I know a lot's changed in 30 years. And much more of the initial presentation is done online.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember when my parents moved, they were moving out of state. Their house where they were was still for sale. And what they chose to do was leave strategic bits of furniture
yep.
around the house. So I wonder, in today's day and age, like you said, the downside to the AI thing, where it's not be able to kind of replicate mm-hmm. furniture put in, if you're moving out, would it be smart to stage rooms, take the pictures, even if you're going to clear out the room shortly thereafter?
If you can. Some people simply can't.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that would be a little bit intrusive in a rental or something.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. No, if you have, if you can leave behind, it doesn't have to be all the rooms. Mm-hmm. But like when we do staging, very commonly, we stage the living room, dining mm-hmm. room, a bathroom. That's just the pretties, of course. And then the primary suite.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be much. It's a bed and a nightstand with a lamp on it and then some configuration of a dresser. But even if the dresser's not there, you can, once the bed is there, you can pretty readily see that it will hold a bed. So that's the key. And what size bed? So, yeah. You know, we always tell our clients, my parents lived their married life in a double bed and my husband.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Oh. Well, we didn't have as much fast food back then. And and my husband and I have always had a queen size bed. Well, the younger generation wants a king size bed.
Yeah.
So we have to allow them to see that can be done. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you need it in there. And then the walking through the natural flow of things, because yep. I will look at listings too. And like, you're like, I don't know where I am.
Right.
And then I remember when the 3D rendering was a big thing and you can do the walkthrough with the arrows. And I feel like I'm in a first person shooter game and I don't know what's up. And I just, you're like moving all around. I can't stand that.
Again, your mind is occupied with how do I
click
navigate?
And navigate. Yes.
You're not paying attention to the house unless you want to spend a whole lot of time on that particular house. And so, you know.
But most people are kind of doing the scroll.
They are doing
not
the
gonna
scroll.
Spend, so you got to snag them as fast as you can.
Right.
So price it right, location, marketing it well, using AI, because I think that is a good tool for
yeah. And for, I would erase homes. Your marketing word and I would say presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing, if you're priced right and presented properly, okay, good online photos. All the detail filled in, AI staging or staging, you know, whether you're still living there or not, you should be thinking about staging it so someone mm-hmm. else can imagine themselves living there. Get mm-hmm. all those multi-picture things down.
Yeah.
So that's what'll sell a house.
Awesome. Well, as always, Amy, good advice. Amy McLeod, website real fast.
AmyMcLeod.net, MCLEOD.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.